Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and this morning we'll be looking at just two verses in particular in this passage that we read earlier in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and notice with me verses 13 and 14. Again, page 53, if you're using one of those Bibles there in the pew. Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Luke chapter 2, verse 13, again says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.'" Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us in this short time that we have this morning to learn well the message of these angels, a message of truth that we as well can understand, can repeat and proclaim and live by. And Lord, we're thankful for the reality of who you are. We're thankful for that love that has sent peace in Jesus Christ into the world, and that there is goodwill to be known by men and toward men. And I pray that you would be glorified this morning as we consider these truths. In Jesus' name, amen. The central idea of verses 13 and 14 of Luke chapter 2 is that an innumerable army, an incredibly large group of angels, proclaim three truths that are very simple, very basic, but three truths nonetheless that every one of us could understand. They were given to common shepherds, these three truths that were spread by all the hosts of heaven in that sky that night that they would not soon forget. Can you imagine being on that hillside in some portion of Israel where you would hear all of the sky light up in song and say, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men"? Can you imagine what that must have been like? Not just the sight of that night, and not just the sight and sounds of that night, but the truth. And the truth that, as we see in our passage in verse number 17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Not only that they had seen the child, but they told what they were told by the angels. And among the things that they were told by those angels are these three truths: glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, and goodwill toward men. And this morning I want us to know well those three truths in our brief time in the Word of God. The context of this story is something that I cannot imagine what it would be to sit on that lonely, quiet, perhaps cool evening, and then be suddenly awakened by an angel approaching, as you read in verse number 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in their field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel," a single angel, "the angel of the Lord, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." The verses of verse 10 through 12 are filled with directions for these shepherds, directions from this one angel, directions that were specifically for them to know what to do next. Directions, first of all, for immediate action, not to be afraid, fear not, which would have been a natural reaction to seeing an angel. Fear would have crept into their heart, but the angel says, "Fear not." He says, "I bring you good tidings. Unto you is born this day." The words, "unto you," can you imagine how special that was to common shepherds? For the words, "unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Unto you, for you to know, common shepherds. That is fantastic. And then directions in verse 11, where to go? The city of David, a Savior is Christ the Lord. Verse 12, where to find the babe and what to expect? A manger, a baby, and swaddling clothes. But then in verse 13 and 14, this host of angels comes upon the scene, and a host of angels that says one thing in unison, "Glory to God," and then another, "On earth, peace," and then another, "Goodwill toward men." And the emphasis of those words was not an immediate direction for them, something for them to go and do. It was a reality for them to know, a truth for them to not just hear from the angels' voices, but to go out and tell others, to speak of wherever they would go. Can you imagine the rest of your life having seen a multitude of the heavenly host and not ever telling anyone, hey, can I tell you? Have you heard the story of when I was on that hillside watching sheep? Have you heard yet? And everyone might get tired, perhaps. Oh, it's Zechariah again, or whatever his name was among those shepherds, his name. And he's telling the story again. Do you think we ever get tired of the story of Christmas? You know, we do tell the story every Christmas. I grew up in a home where Luke 2 was read every Christmas morning. We read it together as a family. Perhaps you've done that already as a family this week. Perhaps this morning. Perhaps before you'll do any exchanging of gifts, you will clearly articulate to your family the true purpose and meaning of Christmas. Why we celebrate Christmas. That Christ has come into the world. And these words were not something that would get boring to those shepherds to tell again and again. They were words that were said that were powerful. And I want you to consider the power of these three truths this morning. First of all, glory to God. Glory to God. These messengers, the praise, the angels, are not to be worshipped. People often do give praise to the angels and exalt angels. That's not why we're looking at this morning. We are looking at the story of these angels and their message because they have a purpose. And that purpose was to praise God. We learn from these angels. We learn in throughout Scripture much about the work of the angels. And one of the things I repeatedly find as I read the Bible about angels is that this host praises God effectively. This host declares who God is. Well, if you were to look over in Revelation 5 and verse 11, you would read, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." You know what that means of this group? They're enormous in number. An enormous number, an innumerable host, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." They speak praise to God and to the Lamb that came to die for the sins of man. In that great vision of John, Revelation 7 and verses 11 through 12, he sees and hears a message of praise. Again, "And all the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen." That message of praise is one you ought to get used to. You know why? It's probably not going to be something that we hear once or twice in our heavenly experience, those who know Christ as Savior. It's going to be something we hear repeatedly, over and over and over. And it won't ever get old to us because we will understand far better than we do now how much God is worthy of that praise, how much God is worthy of that exalted position. And I want to ask you this morning to consider the angelic message, the truth of the fact that glory to God in the highest is a worthy statement. Glory to God in the highest. He is worthy of adoration and praise. And this morning, as we consider Christmas and the message the angels sang, they sang glory to God because what was taking place would result in our perfectly being able to do what those angels are doing as well. Now think of this for a minute. What was God's purpose in the angels? That they would glorify Him. What was God's purpose in creating man? It was that we would glorify Him as well. And sin comes into that picture in Adam, and what is the result? We don't effectively glorify God when we are in sin, when we rebel against Him. He is worthy of glory. And the very thing that they are saying, glory to God in the highest, is surrounding the event that brings about men able to glorify God once again as they could not before. Jesus Christ coming into the world makes it possible for you and I to do this very thing. Jesus Christ coming in to redeem humanity. The redemption of mankind in Christ is for the one ultimate purpose of us being able to glorify God effectively. That you and I could praise God as we should. We live in a time when people exalt themselves. Self-exaltation is everywhere. lifting up of what we can do, even lifting up our own goodness and our efforts of kindness can be lauded and boasted in ourselves in this culture. But these angels boast nothing of themselves by these words. They declare a fact. Glory to God in the highest. He is worthy of it. We declare it. It is true. We must say it. And I want to encourage you. That is why God has saved us who know Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ dying for my sin made it possible for me to glorify Him? Made it possible. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Because of His kindness, the right response for you and I is the same as those angels. Glory to God in the highest. Is that your desire? This Christmas, glory to God in the highest. Salvation from the start to its finish is about Christ coming into the world so that we could effectively glorify God, so that we could praise Him. I cannot glorify God on my own as I should without Christ in the picture. Christ had to come into the picture to make me clean so that I can glorify God effectively. Without that, I am in my sin. You're in your sin. You and I are unworthy. We are unable to glorify Him, to give Him the honor and exaltation He deserves. But because of Christ, I can glorify Him. A second message of those messengers that day was not only glory to God, but on earth peace. On earth peace. Now, I don't know if you heard this past week, but President of Russia, Vladimir Putin, declared for the first time in the last 10 months of the conflict in Ukraine that it is a war. That was the first time he'd said that this past week. Perhaps you've read that or heard that. It's called a special military operation, but in that, it was war. It has been war, and there have been wars over the past 2,000 years, haven't there? And an ongoing conflict with humanity wherein there is death and destruction, whether men call it that or not. It has been a world filled with evil's effects. So what the angels said that night to those shepherds, was that a lie? Was that a mistake on their part to say, on earth, peace? No, no, my friend. It was not a mistake at all. The words that they spoke were truth because Christ came into the world to provide what could not be had apart from Him, and that is peace with God. He is the Prince of Peace. In fact, Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That is a certainty. And I tell you, friends, Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and He will perfectly reign in complete domination over this world. There will be, and I want you to remember this, friends, there will be a day that you and I will see no more sin, no more evil, no more death. I look forward to that. I hope that you do as well. But that is a reality that I can know now in Christ. Jesus told His disciples in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Jesus Christ came into the world, and what those angels spake of that night was peace on earth. God in flesh, dwelling among us. And God in flesh, Jesus, came to facilitate, to make possible peace with God. You know, right now, this world is filled with all the effects of sin and the evil of sin. And the evil towards one another is great. And the evil against God is great. Jesus Christ came to bring peace between man and God. He's the only one who can. There is no peace found in some social reform. There is no peace found in treaties. There is no peace found in the war that would end wars. There is peace alone in Jesus Christ. And we declare this morning what the angels declared: peace on earth. You can say with certainty there is peace to be known on this earth today because Jesus Christ was born and Jesus Christ died for sin so that I could be at peace with God, who was once an enemy and now his child. That is a message that we need to continue to speak of. Galatians 1:3 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." There is no peace without God. And with that peace that he provides, there is salvation. And we, like the angels, can declare that: peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. And then finally this morning, goodwill toward men. Goodwill. Now, for all the kids in here and adults, I'm not speaking of one of my favorite stores. I like Goodwill. How many of you do? Sure, if you're honest and you like good deals. I like Goodwill. That's not the goodwill we're talking about here. The goodwill that we're speaking of here is that goodness that is now and only now possible to be known by man because of Christ being born. Goodwill toward men. Without Christ coming into the world, this is a very bleak place. A very dark place. Dark because of the way that men treat men. Have you noticed how people treat each other in this world? Is it not alarming? Is it not concerning? Shooting, killing, the murder of babies every year. The way in which our culture treats the life of others. The way in which they treat their own life and what God has made them. Is there not a lot of evil to be realized in this world? And yet, at that time in which there was evil, and there was evil just assuredly during the days in which these shepherds heard this message from the angels, as there is evil today, evil in this present world, the goodwill that is spoken of here is something the angels looked on and could see taking place in the lives of individuals because of God at work. Goodwill toward men. Do you know that the angels observe God's working? And what they are saying could be understood by these shepherds. That they praise God and we can hear it is amazing. That they can see that there is peace on earth and that these shepherds could hear it and know it is amazing. But that they could see and they could proclaim there is goodwill toward man. Goodwill toward men. That was a fantastic thing for them to recognize and to communicate towards those shepherds. How did that goodwill toward men come about? Revelation 1:5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." You know why there is the capacity for there to be goodwill toward men? John 3:16 comes to my mind when I think of God's goodwill toward men. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God has demonstrated his good kindness towards men. And as a result of his kindness towards men, we who believe on Christ and have salvation are able to do good towards others. You know that without Christ, I will not be kind and good towards anyone else in the way that actually matters. Oh, this world has a facade of kindness and goodness. You may have interacted with it. Someone who will smile at you and be kind to you in a brief, momentary, but often selfish way. This kind of goodness that the Word of God speaks of is a transformative goodness. It is a kind of goodness that this world desperately needs. A kind of goodness that you and I can't create out of ourselves. It is a goodness, goodwill toward men, that I and you both need God at work in us to produce and shine out his goodwill toward us and us in reflection of what He has done towards others. We oftentimes think of Christmas as an opportunity to show and demonstrate generosity and kindness towards others. And that is an excellent time for us to do so, as we consider the kindness of God in giving the gift of His Son. But it's also a time for us to recognize how I can demonstrate goodness and kindness towards others. You can't demonstrate kindness and goodness and generosity in the way that you should unless you recall that God has shown kindness and goodness to you. A thankful heart recognizing what God has actually done for you. Look over in your Bibles with me at 2 Thessalonians 2. Because here we find an example of this kind of recognition in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. A text you might not often think of as a Christmas passage, but there is a great truth in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 and 17. At the ending of his letter to the church in Thessalonica, Paul would remind them of some truths that parallel much what this statement is in the message of the angels. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 says, "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you always by all means. The Lord be with you all." And I'm reading the verse, chapter 2. I'm reading chapter 3. Verse 16 of chapter 2. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Do you notice in these verses, verse 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." You ought to underline those words in your Bibles. This is what God has given to you and I. He has given to us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. His kindness towards us was shown in the birth of Christ. We have the demonstration of God's kindness. But verse 17 says, "Comfort your hearts." You be encouraged by this very fact of what God has done and establish you, build upon this foundation in every good word and work. Do you know that there are words and works that ought flow out from your life just as there were words and works that flowed out of the life of these angels? Do the angels in Luke chapter 2 work? Yes. Do they speak? Yes. And in both what they say and in what they do, they declare something that they themselves have realized. They have realized the goodness and glory of God. And you who have trusted Christ as Savior, can I remind you of what you have realized? What you have been the recipient of, you ought to be encouraged because of God's grace and kindness towards you to then speak out. You can't well speak out good things, good words or good works, apart from the remembrance of God's grace towards you. Ephesians 2 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created unto," what? "Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God's plan for us is to do His bidding, is to do His work, and to communicate to others His good will toward man. What a marvelous status as Christians that we can do that. Now, you may be here this morning and not know what it is to be able to say, "God has shown goodness toward me." But I tell you this morning, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for you, so you could be right with God, so there could be peace between you and God. God did that work of salvation in Christ so that you as well could communicate goodness towards others. As we go from this place this morning, will you take the message of those angels to heart? The message of the birth of Christ is that Christ was born to die for our sin. Those angels declared He is worthy of praise, and I pray that that will be on your lips throughout this day. He is the one who has brought peace, and indeed He has. And He is the one who has made possible goodness from God to us and from us out towards others. And may that ring out from us this day. Without Christ, there is no knowledge of goodwill. There will only be evil and wickedness shown through the lips of men towards others. But because of Christ, there is salvation. And I want to declare His glory, His peace, and His way of goodness. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning as we conclude? This morning, these three simple truths that the angels declared can be ours as well. And I would ask you this morning to consider well if you are involved in the glorying of God that He is worthy of. Perhaps this morning you'll just take moments to thank God for again His gift of salvation and praise Him, glorify Him, exalt Him, and speak of Him. Perhaps this morning you don't know what it is to know that peace, the peace that He alone provides in Christ. That's the Christmas message. And this morning, if you accept Christ as the one who died for you, the one who paid the sin debt that you could not pay on your own, the one who came to deliver us from this present evil world and from our sin, you could be saved this morning. And I would invite you in just a moment to come and let us encourage you in that decision to trust Christ and put your faith in Him. Perhaps you've made that decision in the past and you'd want to come and just testify to that and say, I've trusted Christ. We would rejoice in that. Maybe there's another decision this morning that God's worked in your heart. As we conclude this service this morning, let's be a people who are about His praise and His glory. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father, help us to go from this special Christmas service this morning, exalting and praising and honoring You as You deserve. And God, I pray that we would be communicators of the peace that is known in Christ alone this Christmas, that we would be communicators of the goodwill that You have shown, Your good plan of salvation through Christ to others. We are grateful. We recognize we have nothing of ourselves to offer, but we thank You for what You have done for us. And we exalt You this morning. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the piano's going to begin to play. If God's worked in your heart this morning and you want to slip out and just take a moment to praise God and glorify Him, you come and pray.